Praise the Lord this morning. Would you turn with me to the Gospel of John, the 16th chapter? I want to begin reading at the fourth verse preceding. In this fourth verse in the Gospel of John, this is part of what is referred to as the Upper Room Discourse, where Jesus had his disciples sequestered and began to speak to them in this 14th, 15th, and 16th chapter regarding many things, and specifically the coming of the Holy Spirit. And in this fourth verse, we read, "But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him hath sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you." And I want to pause and stop the reading right there. The title of this message is The Coming of the Holy Spirit. And I would just like to offer up a prayer, if you'll bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the precious name of Jesus, thanking you in advance, Lord, for your word and for what you will speak to us. And I pray, Lord, that you make my tongue surrendered unto you, unto the Holy Spirit, the anointing, that it'll speak what you want me to speak, O God. It'll bring edification and strength and encouragement to each and every one of us here. We thank you for your faithfulness and your mercy, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what separates the Church of the Living God? Not the name on the church. I'm not talking about denomination. I'm talking about the true church and the rest of the religious world is the anointing power and operation of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit operates, when he moves, the church is alive. Something is real. It takes place. Praise God. The Holy Spirit knows how to speak to us and knows exactly where we are. And it is not just based on theology and based on putting together messages and anecdotes and whatever and sermonettes. But it is something that is real, that speaks to where we are at the moment and helps us to understand God's expectations of us. And here in this chapter, there were two sections that even before this, in the other chapters, he talks about two themes. One, in the way to the garden, he talks about his relationship with the Father. And here is... he talks about in this upper room discourse the relationship that they would need in order to handle life after he was gone. So he was departing, and this was the end of this discourse, and telling him, "I'm going to go. I've got to go. It's advantageous for me to go for you, but you've got to be prepared how to handle life from this point on." He says in this fourth verse, I want you to pay attention to this, "And these things I said not unto you at the beginning." Now, the things he's talking about, if you read the first few verses, it talks about the hostility of the world. and how they were going to be persecuted and killed for the name of Jesus. He talks about that. He says, these things I didn't tell you at the beginning because I was with you. You see, he is the one that kept them. And we all are dependent upon him. We're dependent on someone. That's how we were created. The biggest lie that is out there is you can be your own person. You can just operate under your own steam, under your own power. You have the wisdom, the wherewithal, and the fortitude, and so on and so forth. And that's a lie. We're all dependent on him, praise God. We're dependent on someone. We can't handle life ourselves. Well, that doesn't sound right. No, I know it goes against everything we hear in this world today. We can't handle it, praise God. The enemy is too powerful. The enemy of our soul, Satan, I want to be specific. The enemy of our soul, Satan, is too powerful for us. We can't combat him with our own abilities. We can't handle life on our own. God has to help us, praise God. And he does, thank goodness. Thank the Lord, praise God. But the lie is that we can be independent. We don't need him. But he was saying here, he says, I've got to go. I kept you while I was here. But I'm going to be gone, and you're going to have to know how to handle life. You're going to have to know how to operate in this world, praise God. And it's with his grace and strength that he will help us, praise the Lord. He talks about, pardon me a moment. He tells them he's going, and you see, he says, sorrow hath filled your heart. They weren't catching it. They were concerned about, what about me? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to myself? Well, what's the bigger picture? You're not asking what's going to happen, but you're confused. You're worried about yourselves. You're not catching the message, the big picture here. And that's what we find in the disciples, that in this time before the Holy Spirit came, and I'm pointing to Pentecost, the second chapter of Acts, I'm pointing to when the church was born on the day of Pentecost in the power of the Holy Spirit. Before that time, every time he spoke with them, they left with questions and not understanding completely. And that's understandable given how much they were given the magnitude and the difference in what he said and compared to what they had been raised with in their own tradition. But here, you know, when they left, even the Sermon on the Mount, they left with questions and bickering among themselves and who was going to be the greatest and so on and so forth. But on the day of Pentecost, what happened? They were changed because the Spirit was dwelling within them and gave them understanding and wisdom, praise God, as to what was to happen. And oh, praise God, what a change took place in their lives. In verses 8, it says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment and of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I think there's been sometimes we put a wrong emphasis on these scriptures. When he has come, and what is he talking about there? Now in the 14th chapter, you don't have to turn to this, but in the 14th chapter, he talks about the world can't receive him because it doesn't know him, talking about the Holy Spirit. Well, how is the Holy Spirit going to come to the world and reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment? No, that's not the emphasis. The Holy Spirit is coming to you, the church, the Christian. He's coming to you, praise God, that you might be the witness. He called us to be a testimony, a witness of his goodness. And what the world ought to see in us are those things that he refers to here, of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. They ought to see a spirit-filled church, a church that is full of the power of the Holy Ghost. This is what ought to be the example. He said, of sin because they believe not on me. The greatest sin is not believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. The greatest sin. And that's why we lift up the name of Jesus. That's why we hold up the name of Jesus before the world. It's Christ the Savior, praise God, the Redeemer, the one who came that shed his blood that you and I might be saved. You and I might find eternal life, praise God. It's that name of Jesus that is so precious. If the churches would have died out and not emphasized the name of Jesus, I think Jesus would be a footnote in history. There wouldn't be anything there, but no, it's not that. Praise God. The Holy Spirit brought his confidence to you and I, praise God, to lift up the name of Jesus. Paul said, I love this in Corinthians. He said, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech and of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. I love that this morning. That ought to be something to go to all the churches. Paul said, I didn't come with fancy words. I didn't come with eloquent dialogue. I tried to do the best I could, but I'm limited. I'm just a man. But I came with one message, praise God, Jesus Christ and him crucified. I didn't come with programs. I didn't come with coffee bars and all those other things and PowerPoint and smoke and mirrors. I didn't come with any of that. I came with one thing, the name of Jesus, praise God, and him crucified this morning, praise God. The Savior of mankind, the one who fought the fight, who served, who was victorious over sin and death and hell, praise God. It seems like today the churches are in competition. What they offer the world today is not Jesus Christ, but they offer the church. Well, we have this program, and we have this outreach, and we have this entertainment, and we have this, and we have that. Oh, brother and sister, we want one thing. We want Jesus Christ and him crucified. We want the name of Jesus to be lifted up, because that's what changes the soul. That's what makes the difference in our lives, praise God. It's Jesus. It's Jesus, praise God. The real thing. Oh, praise the Lord. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness. Pardon me, let me go back to my spot. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. What the world ought to see in us is a different lifestyle. They ought to see something different in us. Righteousness, because we practice living righteous. We're not sin-free. No, we make mistakes and we fall, granted. But we practice living right. And what the church, what the world ought to see in the Spirit-filled church, the Holy Ghost church, is a church that operates differently, a church that is spotless, a church that operates in the power of God, a church that behaves differently. We don't partake of the worldly things. There are limitations, and we know, praise God, the Spirit gives us discernment and wisdom and understanding. We don't participate in those things. We don't live the life that people live, because the Holy Spirit within us gives us the strength and the power to overcome it, praise God. We're the testimony. We're the testimony to the world. World, don't look at it. Look at us. Look at Jesus Christ through us, praise God, that you'll see where the victory is, praise the Lord. They ought to see in us righteous living. They ought to see in us a difference. Sometimes you can't tell the church from the world. We do all the things the world does. Oh, don't go down that path, Brother Ron. No, I'm going to go down that path. We're to be different. We're to be different. We're to be different. Not for the sake of being different, but there's something within us that constrains us. The Holy Spirit witnesses to our spirit that he's the truth teller.
He alerts of danger. He alerts. He gives us understanding and wisdom. No, you don't belong. You don't belong doing that. You don't belong with those friends. No, you can't talk in those circles. No, you can't. You can't go where they go. Oh, well, you can hold your place. No, you can't.
It's not like Jesus going, you know, to the publicans and the sinners, and he witnessed them. Oh, no, we can't participate. We have to be separate. And that's not a message people want to hear today. But, oh, Lord, help us. Help us to show the righteous living that would bring glory and honor to your name, that would bring a testimony and a witness. What do you people have to offer? We don't have to offer one thing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Him, his life, praise God, his goodness, his mercy, praise the Lord. We try to emulate his life in ours by the power of the Holy Spirit, not in ourselves, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. When he has come, when the Spirit has come, like on the day of Pentecost, when he has come, praise God, in his power, praise the Lord, he will convict. Oh, praise the Lord, of judgment. The final thing he talks about is judgment. Oh, praise God, oh Lord, help us. The world, the Satan, the enemy of our soul is judged. He is judged. He is judged, and he was found guilty. Jesus Christ defeated him on the cross. Well, Jesus died. Yes, he did. But he died sin-free. The enemy couldn't break him. The enemy didn't change him. The enemy didn't cause him to stumble. Oh, no, he was spotless and sin-free. He prayed for those who persecuted him. There's a coming day of judgment, my brother and sister. Coming day of judgment. When the Word of God, the principles of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this world system are going to come together in conflict. And I tell you, who's going to win? Amen. Jesus is going to win. Praise God. You see what's going on today. Did you pay attention to this kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs? He's a Catholic by his association, and gave a speech at this Catholic college, thank you. And all he talked about were traditional values, based on biblical principles, but traditional values. And what did it do? Oh my God. He would have been better raping five women and committing murder than all the press he got. What a horrible thing. One of the commentators, he must have money issues. Vile, demeaning. You see, the message of the cross and the message of salvation and the message of Jesus Christ doesn't agree with the world today. And it's coming in conflict more and more every day. More and more every day. But there is going to be a judgment. Praise God. There is going to be a judgment, my brother and sister. Oh, Lord, help us. That's why the Holy Spirit wants to work in the church. He wants to get the message out. He wants us to be the example. He wants us to be the ones that reach out to fulfill the Great Commission. Praise God. Because there are souls in danger out there. There are souls who are lost and bound for hell. Souls who have no hope. They need Jesus Christ and they need saving. Praise God. And he is the only one. Hallelujah. The Savior. Praise God, that can do it. And the Holy Spirit is saying, oh, church, I'm going to come to you. Jesus is going to the Father to be glorified, but I'm coming to you, the church, praise God, and I'm going to indwell you. I'm going to give you power, and I'm going to give you understanding and wisdom, and I want you to work for the kingdom, praise God. I want you to be the example, praise God, to show the good news of the gospel, praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. Help us that we operate in that spirit, praise God.
It's wonderful we've been around for 100+ years, but Lord, let the Spirit be alive and well in us today, praise God. Not a stale, old experience, but something that is a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise God, that's what we need today, a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, help us to get off of our seat and to move forward for Jesus Christ. He said, I'm coming to you. And when he has come to you, when he has come to the church, when he has come to the Christian, it's power. It's power to live the life. It's power to be the example, power to be the witness and the testimony. It's power to show them the way to Christ. Power to show them the way to salvation. Oh, praise God. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. Help us, praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. In this passage, he tells us there are many things that I have to tell you, but you can't bear them now. You don't understand. There's prerequisite learning. You gotta start to absorb. The Holy Spirit has to teach us and lead us and guide us. Praise God. He just doesn't pour all his information into us all at once. We can't comprehend it. It's too much. And it is an experiential situation where as we spend time with the Lord, as we spend time in the presence of God, as we spend time in the Word, the Holy Spirit begins to instruct us and cause our understanding to grasp a hold of the message. Praise God that he would have us to know, praise God, so he can use us for the kingdom, that we don't be staying babes and, you know, we desire the sincere milk of the Word. The milk is fine when you're a baby. But you can't give a 20-year-old, well, here's your bottle of milk today. No, they've got to have meat. They've got to have something more substantial. So it is in the Christian growing up and maturing in the Lord, praise God. We've got to get to the meat of the Word, where it's beyond just the love. But what does God expect? What are the expectations that he has in our lives? What are the things that we should do and how we should behave? And it's all in the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit, he sent the Holy Spirit to the church. They might be able to profit, praise God. They need to be kept. We need to be kept. We're dependent, praise God. Take the Holy Spirit out of the church. What do you have? You got just sermonettes and you got, you know, good speeches and, you know, clever anecdotes and what else, but nothing that changes the soul and changes the heart. It's the anointing, it's the Holy Spirit that convicts, that it goes right down to where we are and tells us we're okay or not okay, or we're doing something that is out of order, or we're doing something that God wants to bless. Oh, praise God. Lord, speak to us. And when he has come, he was telling them this momentous thing. He said, I'm going. They never thought, he's 33 years old, they never thought about him going. He's not going to die. Even if they didn't have life expectancy that long in those days, but they didn't expect him to die. But here he says, no, I've got to go. I've got to go to fulfill everything that the Father has for us. I've got to go. And when I go, you're going to have to know how to handle things. You're going to have to know how to behave. It's better for me if I go than to stay, praise God, because the Holy Spirit will come and be with each of you, praise God. And you'll depend on him, and he will help you, and he will strengthen you. He will open your understanding, and he will give you the power and the strength you need to live the life, praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. Receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit is just the beginning. It's just the inception. It's just beginning to understand what God wants and his deepness and the depth of his love. It's just the beginning, praise God. It's so we can operate in the Spirit that God never wanted us to see us, you know, stop our growth spiritually, but to continue to grow in him. Are we different than we were 10 years ago? I'm talking to the baptized right now. Are you different than you were 10 years ago? Is there a depth Is there a depth in your walk with the Lord? Is there a deeper understanding in the Word? Praise God. Do you see things differently now? Do you see yourself and look back and say, oh, how immature I was? Or do you see any change at all? It's not about being in the Lord 30 years. It's not about that. That's seniority. It's not about seniority. Well, I've been in the Lord 30 years. Well, that's good. But how does the growth curve compare with the seniority? You got 30 years of growth? You got 30 years of depth in the Lord? Do you have that? That's what the Holy Spirit is saying to us this morning. And when he has come to you and to me, he will reprove. We are the reprovers. By the operation of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are the reprovers. We are the ones that will bring conviction because of just how we behave, just how we live our lives, just how they see us comport ourselves from day to day, just how we speak to people, just how we hold on to the truth, how they see our attendance at church. Well, they're going to church again. People looking at the subdivision, well, they're dressed up. They're going to church. There's something about them. Well, that's just habit. No, it's that. Yeah, you could say that. Maybe that's what some people might think, but there's something more than that. Something more than that. There's reality within because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, I'm going to close right here. And when he has come, he will reprove. I want to cover one more point. It says, he shall not speak of himself, but all the things that he shall hear. Praise God. He's going to give no new interpretation of the word. The word is the word. Praise God. You know, we have some... I've heard some pastors or preachers or some quote spiritual religious people say, well, this is some revelation that no one had ever heard before. Wait a minute. No, that's, does it jive? Does it go with the word? No, he'll speak of the things that he heard, that he hears. There's no new, nothing new. Praise God. The word is the word. He'll speak that when he hears, praise God, and convey it unto us. Lord, continue to speak to us this morning. Continue to witness to us. Help us to get a hold of what God's trying to tell us this morning. There's got to be a change. God wants to see a change in our lives from day to day, week to week, and year to year. There's got to be a change. It got to be a drawing deeper to him, closer to him. A depth of our walk with the Lord. Not a superficial walk. We can stay at the superficial level. But brothers, that's not fun because the enemy has a ball with us. When we're superficial in the Lord, when our faith is so small, when our faith is at that level, what happens? Every little thing just knocks us off course. Every little situation kind of gives us a jolt and it's almost like we stumble. Oh, I didn't know it was like this. I didn't know that was going to happen. Lord, that's not fair. You know, that's the word of an immature Christian. Because nothing happens by accident. God planned everything out in our lives. He orchestrates everything in our lives to draw us to the point where he wants us to be. But you and I, you see, have to participate in that. We have to say, yes, Lord. We have to surrender. We have to yield to the Holy Spirit. We have to let the Spirit of God continue to shape us and mold us after the image of Christ. Praise God. In being in attendance, in being in the Word, and being in prayer, being in those things, praise God. The Holy Spirit can work with us. The Holy Spirit can mold us. The Holy Spirit can make us over. Oh, praise the Lord. Lord, would you help us this morning?
and when he is come. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the baptism. You see, that's the same, that's the baptism that the church was born in. That was the experience. By one Spirit, Paul writes the Corinthians, were baptized into the body. By one Spirit, were baptized into the body. They were baptized into the body. The body was formed on the day of Pentecost. And every time the Lord baptizes, he baptizes someone into the body. That's how we get into the body. That's what the Word of God says. That's how we get into the body. Where does God want us? He wants us in the body. Does God love us that much? Yes, he does. He wants us to be a part of the body of Christ. That's his desire for you and I. Not to be lost. Not to be out there. And we see what the Lord, this is Jesus speaking, what he tells us. He says, when he has come to you, the Holy Spirit has come to you. He's going to use you to bring the gospel message to the world, to your neighbors, to your family that don't understand and may not believe. He's going to use you, praise God. Me, yes, you. Every one of us for his glory. May the Lord encourage us this morning. May his name be praised. Amen. Do we have a song?